Matthew chapter number 28, if you have your Bibles. Matthew chapter 28, verse number 5. Amen. As we said, I love Easter time in here. I really do. Amen. And I'll just kind of give you this before we ever get any further. What separates Jesus Christ, what separates Christianity, what separates what we believe from every other religion in the world is our Savior's no longer dead.
Praise God.
That's all of it in a nutshell. These people served Buddha, but you know what? You can go dig up the bones of Buddha today.
Right.
These people served Confucius, and they've served William Brown. I mean, and they've worshipped lots of men through the years. But you could go find their remains.
Come on.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
But there was only one Savior named Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And when they beat him and they crucified him and they spat upon him and they put the crown of thorns upon his head. And I don't want to get too far ahead of myself here. And they finally put him in a borrowed tomb.
Yeah.
Glory to God, the third day. He got back up. Hallelujah. I said he got up just like he said
Jesus,
he would.
Jesus.
Amen. Matthew chapter 28, starting at verse number 5. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. Hallelujah.
Yes, yes, yes.
Amen. You know what I'm preaching on here today? I'm going to preach on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
At approximately 3:15, amen, on Good Friday, if you will, the day they crucified our Lord, a small group of men could be seen scurrying eastward in Jerusalem through the Damascus Gate. They were elaborately, amen, dressed, highly educated men. They were rubbing their hands gleefully and laughingly as these men, which we now know as the Sanhedrin, was standing around. Amen. I could hear one with a shrill voice say, he's dead, he's dead, he's dead.
Yeah.
Another clapped his hand and answered, that's right, he'll never bother us anymore. The other leader of the group threw back his head and laughed. Yes, we will hear no more from this man named Jesus. Pilate saw to that. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. They had just helped to crucify Jesus Christ. Amen. They saw him die on Calvary. And at approximately 3 o'clock, Jesus had bowed his head and he gasped the last breath and he cried out, it is finished. Amen. The work had been done. They had succeeded in their mission. They were so excited, amen, that Jesus was dead. Hallelujah. And at that very moment, about 15 minutes, I'm taking my stance here, while they were all gleefully, amen, very excitedly talking about this Jesus, amen, how that he was dead and he'll bother them no more. All of a sudden come a carrier. Back in these days they had runners. Amen.
Yeah.
Here come the runner to meet them. He had just come from the temple. Amen. Sweat covered his face. Amen. He was very pale. A great calamity, he cries, has occurred. 15 minutes ago, you'll never believe it, but down at the temple, the veil of the temple has been rent from the top to the bottom. It's unbelievable. It's as though God grabbed a hold of that thing and ripped it apart. Glory to God. The Sanhedrin, Brother Anthony, they were just so joyful. They were just very excited about the death of Jesus. But now they look very worriedly at one another and they say, something is wrong. Amen.
Yeah.
Something is wrong. Glory to God. The courier said, you can look past the veil of the temple now and you can look all the way back to the Holy of Holies. Back there where the Ark of the Covenant is. Back there where no man has ever trod before. Now we can look all the way back into the where the Holy Ark of the Covenant is. Something is wrong. And these Sanhedrin began to cry, and they grew very disturbed. Amen. Not only at the veil of the temple, but as they began to walk back towards the temple, they noticed major geographic changes. Amen. Oh, yes. Did you know when Jesus died, the earth began to shake? Graves busted open, Brother Tommy, and it changed the geographic fissures in the earth that day. Oh, yes. Amen. Hey, God, all you got to do is read the book of Zechariah. Amen. From the west to the east, making its way from Golgotha across the city, through the Kidron Valley, all the way into the Mount of Olives. Amen. The moment Jesus died, the very earth itself began to change, and it began to shake. The world doesn't know too much about that, but Zechariah in chapter number 14, amen, told us that when Jesus was crucified, the star of that fissure began to change. But oh, glory to God. Amen. Zechariah said when Jesus comes back to this earth with all of his saints of God to rule and to reign, that fissure is going to tear even further. The Mount of Olives will split into two. What Jesus began at Calvary will be finished when he returns. I come to tell his church, he's no longer dead, but he has risen. Amen. The Sanhedrin members, they learned very quickly that Jesus had only begun to change the world. They thought, Brother Tommy, if we could crucify him and get rid of this man, he won't bother us anymore. But that's only the start of it. I said that's only the start of it. 3.5 years. Gee, 33 and a half years he lived, but 3.5 years, Brother George, he set up his ministry, and he preached and he taught in the temples and in the synagogues. But all them 3.5 years has changed the course of history. Great God. I love what boy they said that excerpt I have, I can find it. Amen. A man that never owned a house. Great God. A man that never had great money. Had to borrow money out of the fish's mouth to pay his taxes. He never had much more than just the coat that was on his body. He never traveled more than 200 miles away from his home. Great God. Never wrote a book. Never done anything great, magnificent in that area. But that man has changed the course of history. Thousands of books have been wrote about that man. Amen. Countless souls have called, amen, unto that name, and they were able to be saved. I come to tell us here today, church, Jesus, Sanhedrin, has just started to change the world. Glory. I said glory. Satan doesn't mind if you believe in the cross. Oh no, there's a lot of religions. All they talk about is the cross. All they talk about is, you know, the devil, he don't care if you believe in the cross. Oh no. Brother Keith, I'll never forget Sister Martin. Y'all remember Sister Martin?
Oh yeah.
Amen. 87, I think it was, when she died. But there, just days before she died, she is laying up there in St. Mary's Hospital. And Catholics are the worst for this. They got him on the crucifix. They got him hanging on a cross. Boy, it burnt Sister Martin up. She laid there and looked at that Brother George, Brother Tom, for about 2 or 3 days. And about every day she mentioned something about Jesus hanging on that cross. Every day she said, look up there, they got him hanging on that cross. I come in the next day, look up there, Jason, they got him hanging up on that cross. Finally, by the third day, she'd had enough. Woo! And she said, I tell you what, she said, they might as well take him off that cross. He ain't on it no more. They buried him in a tomb.
Yeah.
And now he's alive.
Hallelujah.
I said he's alive.
Woo.
He's at the right hand of the throne in heaven. He's not on a cross. He's not in a tomb. But I said he's alive. Ever make an intercession for the church. Thank God he is alive.
Praise God. Yes, he is.
Woo.
Yes.
that Jesus is alive. Oh, yes. Amen. But he surely doesn't want you to believe in the resurrection. Oh, no. Amen. Thank God. Brother Tommy, give me a verse real quick. Romans 10 and 9. I need that one. Amen. 10 and 9. And then I've got some in 15. 1 Corinthians 15. I want to read to you. I got to read two or three, so I'll read those. Amen. But oh, let's get the picture here. I said Satan doesn't want for you to believe that he's alive. It's all right to believe that he came and that he lived. Amen. He doesn't really so much care that you believe he was born the virgin birth, although he does fight that. Amen. I believe Jesus was born of a virgin. Come on. He was born of Mary. And churches have polluted that. So we raised Mary up and made a God out of Mary. Thank God for Mary. God chose a chaste, amen, beautiful young lady to bring his son into the world that had never known a man. Hey God, Jesus Christ was born a virgin.
Right.
And if you don't believe that, you don't believe the Bible. Amen. Oh,
yeah.
It's very important. But the devil, he's all right if you believe that. Amen. Great God. Jesus Christ left the portals of heaven and came down here and put on the robe. Amen. Great God, of flesh and bone. And he began to live like you and I live. Oh, he's all right if you believe that. But verse number, amen, 9 of the 10th chapter of the book of Romans just tells us the contract that God has in order for a man, woman, boy, or girl to be saved. Tell us, Brother Tommy, what it says.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth.
All right. This is very important, amen. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, amen.
The Lord Jesus. And shalt believe in thine heart.
Woo! All right, here, changing gears. You got to confess the Lord with thy mouth and believe in thine heart.
All right.
Here's the important part.
That God hath raised him from the dead.
Woo! That God has raised his son Jesus from the dead.
Yeah.
Amen. This is the contract to be saved. You got to confess him with your mouth. You got to believe in your heart that God raised his son Jesus. Amen. Is that all of it?
And thou shalt be saved.
Woo! That God raised his son Jesus. Then thou shalt be saved. I'm going to preach here today for just a couple more moments. He's not dead, but he's alive.
Right.
I said he'd risen, Brother George. He got up. I said he got up. And because he got up, that gives me hope that I can live on Judgment Day. It gives me hope that I can make it to heaven one day because Jesus lives. I said he's not dead, but he's alive.
Glory, glory.
The truth of the resurrection is very paramount in the church. Paul wraps it up in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Amen. And he tells us this all the way down to verse number 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Paul said, he's painting a picture here. And he said, some of you say there is no resurrection. There is no body, amen, going to get up one day. Let me tell you something. Jesus' body got up.
You're right.
I don't have time. I'm limited on time here today.
Come on.
Amen. But look, Jesus' body got up, amen. When Mary, amen, ran out to the tomb, you had Joseph, they ran out there, glory to God, very early in the morning. That's why we have sunrise services. Amen. They ran out to the tomb,
right,
and it bothered them. They came back, got Peter and John, and they ran to the tomb. This ain't my sermon today, but this is a good part of it.
Come on.
And you know what they found? They said they'd taken away my Lord. Amen. There in that tomb, Brother Anthony, was still a great clothes, perfectly wrapped, as though they had been on a man but they had not been hindered. Jesus come out of them grave clothes. I said, Jesus got up. His body was no longer there, but the grave clothes were. And let's be known, Brother Earl Dishman, that Jesus got up in a bodily form. And one of these days, Brother Chuck, the church is going to get up. I said, it's going to get up. These old bodies are going to rise to meet the Lord one day. Woo! And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Tell us it's important. I come to tell us these old bodies are going to get up one day.
Yes, sir.
All right. Amen. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, I love this. Paul said in there that Christ didn't rise.
Right.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
Then is Christ not risen?
He's risen.
And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain, and your faith is in vain also. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up. If so be the dead rise up, Paul said, if Jesus didn't rise again on that third day and get up out of that grave like we preach and like we believe, then everything we stand for is in vain.
Right.
Hey, I come to tell you, he's not in a grave. I come to tell you, he's not in a tomb. But he got up, and he's at the right hand, ever living to make intercession for you and I today. Hallelujah. I said, Satan knows that if he can get people to doubt the very, amen, resurrection, the very first Easter morning, then they will not accept the gospel. That's why he fights Easter. That's why he fights the resurrection. Amen. How do we know? My next question, and I'm done. So, Brother Jason, how do we know that Jesus really got up?
Come on.
Glory to God.
Yeah.
And let me prove to this. Let me prove you this from the Word of God, and I'll be done. How do you know he really got up? Well, I could settle this real quick and say, because the Bible said he did, and that's enough for me.
All right.
And that is enough for me. But by the time I'm done here in a few short minutes, even the skeptics will know that Jesus got up. Hallelujah. Hey, the book says that he, some people believe, and one man in particular wrote a book, amen, that said that Jesus fell into some trance, and that when he was taken from the cross, unconscious, he was put in that tomb. And while he was in that tomb, he regained consciousness, and he escaped out. That's almost in itself a miracle. If that was really true, we know it's not true. But you tell me how a man could suffer all that Jesus suffered, had been locked up for several days, passed back and forth, beat with the cat of nine tails, lose all the blood that he lost, go through crucifixion, and then just thought he was dead, laying there, put him in a tomb, to put that gigantic stone, roll the stone across the tomb, sealed it, Brother Chuck.
Yeah.
Put that Roman seal. Put four men out there. Hey God, put 4 to 6 men just to roll this stone. And Jesus got up, pushed the stone away, and walked out. That's a, you got to have more faith to believe that. Amen.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Well, the Romans, amen, were experts at death. I don't believe that. I don't believe that the first instance is what happened. Jesus had been in captivity. Jesus had been beaten. As Brother Tommy said, hung with the spikes in his hands and in his feet. There he was, suspended on the cross for 3 hours. And every man that had ever hung on a cross, they had broke their legs.
Right.
You know why? Because while you're hanging on a cross, and I don't want to get too graphic here. Amen. Somebody said, what made Jesus die? A broken heart? Yes, his heart was broken, but that's not what killed him. What made Jesus die? His love for us.
Come on.
Yes, he loved us tremendously, but that's not what killed him.
Come on.
You know what killed Jesus?
Come on.
The same thing that killed every other man that was crucified. Amen. He suffocated. And his heart ruptured. I can prove it to you here in just a moment. Why he hung there, Brother George, crucifixion was. It hurt so bad to hang from your hands. It put pressure across your pectoral muscles and pulled your diaphragm, would squeeze your lungs, and you would have to take your feet, amen, horrific pain, and push up on the nails to get about 2 seconds worth of breath, and then that air would get lodged in your lungs, and then there, as you would hang on that cross, it would put pressure on your heart and on your lungs. Oh, but Jesus died just like every other man did. He suffocated. Glory to God.
Come on.
And he died on that cross. How do you know, Brother Jason? Because when them Roman executioners, which were professionals at death, when they came to look at our Savior, every other man, they had broke his legs. That way he couldn't push up and get an extra breath. They looked at our Savior, and Isaiah prophesied and said, not a bone will be broken. Glory to God. None of them, they came to our Savior and they said, he's already dead. There's no need to break his legs. They had broke every other man's legs, but not our Savior. That's why the Jews won't eat the shank. Even today, they have that shank on their plate. Amen. You know why? Because it's whole. It's not been broken. And I come to tell us, not a bone in his body was broke. But instead of breaking his bones and his legs, you know what they did?
He took that large spear.
Yep.
And they pierced his side.
Dear Lord.
All right, listen to this. You don't have to be a nurse to know this. I realize I'm a nurse. You don't have to be a nurse to know this. In his side, his heart had ruptured. He was dead. Amen. But inside his cavity, Brother Chuck, when they pierced him, what did the Bible say come out? Blood and water.
Right.
You know why? Because his heart had already ruptured. Amen. It already had bursted. And all that blood cavity had failed. If Jesus had been alive, I'm not trying to get too graphic here, but when they pierced that, all that blood wouldn't have run out at once. Every time his heart beat, the blood would have squirted out.
No. But he was dead. I said he was dead.
He's already gone. Hallelujah.
I said he was dead.
Yeah.
I got to move on here. Oh, yes. Glory to God. And at about 3 o'clock, the soldiers came and they pronounced him dead. They never broke his bones, but they pierced his side. Amen. Oh, yes. Then the body of Jesus was taken by his friends. Amen. And prepared for burial. He was wrapped in traditional grave clothes, somewhat mummified style, and rubbed down with spices and ointments used to preserve the body for burial. Then he was carefully laid in the grave, which was sealed, amen, with this enormous stone that took several men to move. And the stone had been sealed with that Roman signet.
Right.
Glory to God. Jesus went through all of this torture and grave preparation. Amen. Oh, yes. He was dead. Glory to God. I said he was dead.
Right? Yeah.
Amen. A crucifixion victim will die under terrific tension along with suffocation. Secondly, somebody might say, well, the enemies of Jesus came and they stole him away in the night. I'm going to refute this. So that a permanence, amen, great God's shrine could not be set up. Now let's look at this. Within 50 days of the crucifixion of Christ, the church had been spread like fire.
Right.
Within 50 days, Pentecost had set in. 3,000 had been saved. 5,000 had been saved. These disciples were out preaching far and wide. He's alive! He's alive! Get ready! The church was scattering like wildfire. And you mean to tell me that the enemies, amen, of Jesus has stolen the bodies? Amen. Great God. Sister Clay, if the enemy has stolen his body, at this very moment they would have found it. They would have produced the body and said, he's not alive. Here he is. I come to tell you, his enemy never stole his body. And thirdly, I'll be done. Amen. So Some say that the disciples came and stole his body. Well, first off, we know that can't be true because only John had enough nerve to even come to the cross. All the rest of them were scared smack to death. They had been scattered, and only John stood there by the cross. Amen. But even if they had have stolen the body, you tell me how that 11 of them 12 disciples, amen, they went to the very end. Oh, they brutally killed James. They brutally killed Peter.
Yeah.
They killed Peter upside down.
Right.
Crucified him upside down. Oh, you tell me something, Brother Earl. How could a man die and give his life for a hoax? If they had stolen the body of Jesus and went and hid his body so that they could say that he got up the third day, them 12 men would have never died for a hoax. Oh no. But Peter died, and he said they's about to crucify him. Hey, they's about to kill him. And he said, not up, not upwards, but great God, I'm not worthy to die like that. Turn me upside down. I said they went to the death loving Jesus, knowing he was alive. And I come to tell you here today, he's alive. I said he's alive. He is alive.
Yes, he is.
Amen. Amen.
Glory. Hallelujah.
All the original disciples, except for John, died terrible deaths. Amen. Everything was done that was humanly possible to keep Jesus in the grave.
Yep.
The stone was set in place. The Romans sealed it. Guards were placed around it. Amen. Oh, yes. They would face death if they failed, and they knew it. And they knew that it would cost them their lives. I believe that Jesus, amen, great God, got up.
Amen.
Listen to this. I believe Satan still wasn't satisfied. Look at this. They got him in a tomb. They got it sealed. They got guards around there. And I believe that even Satan still wasn't satisfied. Amen. I believe he called on all the dark knights. Amen. All hell's angels, if you will, to guard that tomb. I believe he commanded them to set their shoulders to the stone and to hold it. Here's Roman guards.
Yeah.
Here's a massive stone. And here's the adversaries of hell. Amen. Standing guard of this tomb. And Satan's given every command. The third day, boys, hold it tight.
Yeah.
For Jesus said he's going to get back up. Hold it tight. Hold it tight. Here's the Roman guards. Here's the Roman Empire, if you will. Everything they had was hanging on this one moment.
Right.
Guard it with everything you've got. Oh, amen. Then the first day of the week, the sun began to rise over Syria. And it said, and its rays pushed across the Jordan Valley, erasing the shadows en route to Jerusalem. And God said to the Holy Ghost, it's time. It's time. The sealed door could not stop the Holy Ghost. Amen. As he had once hovered over the chaos of the universe. Amen. As he once before worked in creation. Amen. The Holy Spirit of God covered the lifeless body of Christ and began to breathe breath into him again. And up from the grave, Jesus arose,
yeah,
with a mighty triumph over all of his foes. The stone was rolled away, amen, for the unseen to see. Why was the stone rolled away? It wasn't rolled away to let Jesus out, but to let us in. He was already gone. I said that stone had been rolled away. But when they looked in, Sister Dottie, he was already gone. He had already got up. I said he'd already got up. That's resurrection stamp death on Satan with no chance of reprieve. It assured every believer of eternal life. The angels sang in victory. The earth echoed back in reply. He lives. Christ our Savior lives. was sat with in this house here today. Amen. Do you know why this truth is so vital to me today? Because the same thing is, amen, that happened to Jesus on that Easter morning, Brother George. It's the same thing that's going to happen to the church. Woo! Hey! When God blows that trumpet over there in the book of Thessalonians, and that trumpet sounds, and God cries, come up hither.
Yeah.
Hey, the Bible said the dead in Christ will rise first.
Woo!
And then us which are alive and remain shall be caught up. It's that same power, it's that same spirit that raised Jesus up that's going to raise us up. Can you raise a hand in worship? Can you raise a hand in praise? He's alive. He's alive. How come the day's alive? He's not dead, but he is alive.
Blessed. Holy Lord.
You have been quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin.
That's it.
Now there is purpose for living. There's motivation. There's joy.
You got it.
See, you see, at Easter time, we don't just commemorate what happened to Jesus on that hillside grave one day, but we can commemorate what happened to every man, woman, boy, and girl in this house today.
Yes, sir.
We're going to get up now.
Jesus.
That's why I love Easter so much. I don't have to die. I get to live.
Praise you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, this can be the Easter season where Jesus lives in you.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
I want him to live in me, don't you? I said I want him to live in me. While they play and sing, won't we bow our heads here today? I feel the Holy Ghost here. Lord, we thank you. God, we thank you that your Son Jesus still lives. We thank you that he ever liveth to make intercession for us. I believe, according to your word, he's at the right hand of the throne of heaven right now. We thank you for that Easter morning. If there were anyone here today that don't know you, Lord, what greater time? Fall in an altar prayer to look out here on Easter. Say, Lord, I want to live. I want to live. Thank you for this service here today.
It's a penny sacred.
Would anyone want to get these altars here today?
stand and praise him, praise the risen Savior. Amen. That you're not dead any longer, but he is here. Amen. All right, once again, we appreciate each and every one of you for being here today, all of you.